So most guys look at success and attraction and relationships that they have with women as something that happens to them. And you can tell this by listening to the way they speak about it. A lot of guys say they got lucky, as in that just kind of happened. They got laid, that just kind of happened to them too. Also, generally speaking, the idea of saying falling in love, as in it's an accident. Everything implies that these things kind of just happen to us. Now, for women, typically that has to be present. It's something called plausible deniability that allows women to have some kind of control over what's happening to them whenever they are in a relationship, whenever they're dating. So plausible deniability would be, for example, if you go to a bar, you can try this out. Try going to a bar and asking why girls are at the bar. It's very rare that you'll find a girl actually admit, hey, we're here to meet guys and have fun. A lot of times you'll say, oh, I'm out with a friend. I'm here to meet my buddies, or I'm drinking. But really, if you think about it, a bar is not a very conducive place for those activities. A bar is actually one of the worst places you can go if you want to enjoy alcohol by any means. If you want to meet your friends, you should probably go into a place that's a little bit quieter so you can have a more relaxing atmosphere. Usually is the case, but what a lot of women don't admit is that they're actually at the bar to meet men. A lot of men will actually not admit that they're at the bar to meet women either. This is called plausible deniability. They need some other reason to say that they're there. You will have to give this to them, and a little bit later on we'll talk a little bit more about that. But the point is that where women are allowed to have things sort of passively happen to them because it plays into their gender role, as you learned in the last chapter, men are not allowed to do that. If you want to play a male gender role, you have to look at this as something beyond passive, something beyond as in it's an accident. Most men believe that they have a complete lack of power over their own success, especially with women. The first thing you're going to need to do is actually stop yourself from saying these terms like getting lucky or getting laid. Don't ever say that. If you can control it, don't do it, because someone who actually knows how to attract women, a guy knows how to attract women, a complete badass with women, knows that it's not something that happens accidentally. If it does happen accidentally, then you don't actually have control over it, and the more you say this, the more it'll kind of perpetuate that situation. So start by controlling your mind, or controlling what comes out of your mouth in this case. There is a reason, a real reason, why everything happens, and I really truly believe this. I've seen it. I'm not one to think that things just kind of happen by accident, or they happen, that there's no design whatsoever, no reason why some reaction happens. I believe that you do something, you get a reaction. If you don't understand the reaction, that's your problem, and you're the one who suffers because of that. If you, some things I do believe that there are certain things that do happen to you that you have no control over, but there's a reason why they happen. So this, thinking this way and knowing this allows me to have responsibility for the things that I do. And if I have success with women, I'm responsible for that. If I'm failing with women, I'm responsible for that too. And that means that it's actually within my control. And the reason why I know that that's true is because there actually is a system that you're going to learn during this chapter that everyone goes through, that starts with before you meet someone and ends with either being in a relationship with them or wherever it is you want to take it. Everyone naturally goes through this system, and the system is called the map of interaction. But before we get into that, you need to understand that there's a reason, again, like I was stating, that there's a reason why everything happens. Attracting women is absolutely no exception to this rule. There's a hidden psychology that 99.99% of men in the entire world never even know exists. They do not know this is here. I didn't know it existed until I studied it, and it was really hard to come across. This is the most precise and complete version of that knowledge that I've studied, and like I said, it's called the map of interaction. Map of interaction is a lot like any map. I mean, it's very similar to a roadmap. When do you use a roadmap? You use a roadmap whenever you want to learn where to go. So if you don't know how to go somewhere, you read a roadmap and you figure out how to go there. And then you also read it periodically to see if you're right on the right track or if you get lost. If you get lost, then you pick up the roadmap and you check it out and see how to get back on track. This map is absolutely no exception to those rules. It is exactly the same. You don't adhere to this map piece by piece by piece forever. All you're going to do is study this until you understand it so you know how to get where you want to go. And then after you understand where you want to go, you're only going to pick it up periodically and be aware of it periodically to make sure that you understand you're on the right path or to figure out how to get back on the right path with someone. And it will take a little while for you to be able to calibrate, and by calibrate I mean really control this situation that you're in using this map. It takes a little while to actually be able to use it in a way that allows you to do what's called seeing the matrix, which I'll get into in a bit. That map of interaction starts with one of four phases. The four big phases are attraction, rapport, seduction, and relationship balance. Now, naturally, you go through these stages with everyone you meet. I mean, guys, girls, everybody. The only thing is that when you meet a guy, you're not going to go into seduction. You're going to skip seduction. You can skip any one of these steps that you want. Whenever you do it, a natural occurrence will happen. If you skip the stage of attraction, then you'll fall into the friend zone. If you skip the stage of rapport, you'll have a lot of resistance and you'll have a lot of fear in the relationship a little later. But they won't, you know, there'll be a lot of mistrust. If you skip the stage of seduction, you'll get into an emotionless, necessarily emotionless, but most likely a passionless relationship. And if you skip the stage of relationship balance, you're going to keep bouncing from girl to girl forever. So they're very, very important to know, though it's not necessary for you. You can actually skip these. And like I said before, a lot of understanding this map and the system is like understanding a machine or understanding the engine of a car. Once you understand how it works, you can then start to soup it up and control it. You can also break some of these rules. You can actually get through for example, you can skip a couple stages and go back and fix them later because you'll know that you can fix any situation. But ultimately, that control over knowing that you can screw up as bad as you want to and there's almost no situation you couldn't fix with a woman is the ultimate power and really what creates a complete badass with women. So the first stage is attraction. Let's go through the first phase, rather, is attraction. Let's go through the three different stages of attraction, though. The first stage of attraction is called introduction. Now, a lot of guys think that introduction means when you go up, you say hello, you introduce yourself, you ask a little bit about them. That's introduction. No, that's not introduction. That is skipping attraction altogether. That is going straight into rapport. Introduction happens before you open your mouth. Introduction is whenever you become, quote unquote, a blip on the radar of the person you're talking to. So if you exist in the world to someone for the first time, let's say that you've never heard of my friend James. You've never heard of my friend James, but now that I'm talking about him, he's on your radar. You're aware of him. You may not know anything else about him other than I have a friend named James, but at that moment now, James has been introduced to you in some fashion. Now, we're really, really, really intelligent. I mean, we are, our subconscious minds are hyper, hyper intelligent. And because of that intelligence, we're able to look at a situation, you know, where there's not very much information on the outside or to most people's eyes and make very powerful and accurate assessments of what's going on. And so what we do is we take all the information that's available to us in the beginning of an interaction that we have about someone. So we look at everything. We've watched them very closely when we see them for the first time. And men and women typically look for different qualities, but that's not really that important right now. Ultimately, we take this information, all the information that's available to us at the moment, we process this information, and then we make an assessment on this information immediately. And that assessment is what most people call prejudgment or judgment in general. Judgment is usually a prejudgment that has been tested to see if it was true. A prejudgment is something like this. It's not actually judging someone before you know them. It's judging them based on the information that you have at hand. That's what prejudging is, and it's not necessarily the best thing to do in the world, but we all naturally do it. Now, after you get this information, as a man, of course, you are going to process this, but you can't expect everyone else to process that information the same way that you do. You can't expect anyone else to ever give you a second chance past this introduction. So, what are they reading? They're reading your body language to see if you're dominant or submissive. They're reading your neediness to see if you to see if you actually want something from someone, if you're out to get someone, get something out of someone, if you're just there to give. They read your value immediately to tell whether or not you're a 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10. Of course, we don't recognize this consciously. We do this all subconsciously. They recognize or read also your vocal tonality if they can hear you. They read the verbal content coming out of your mouth, which is very small. And, well, a very small amount of content, rather, coming out of your mouth in the beginning, typically. And they make an assessment based on this information that they've gathered. Any kind of red flags that pop up, they hold very powerfully, and they decide whether or not they're attracted to you within those first few moments of seeing you. So you want to make sure that you are constantly in that default attractive state. You want your body language to be constantly in an attractive position. You want to show dominance with your body language, but not too much dominance as to show insecurity. So we'll get into that in the body language section. But for now, know that it all starts before you ever introduce yourself to the girl or before you ever make eye contact with the girl. The second stage of the phase of attraction is called demonstrating high value. Now, there's some schools of thought that would call this demonstrating higher value, and I'm going to tell you why that is completely incorrect. Demonstrating higher value assumes that the person you're talking to has higher value than you, which means that they're worth more. So if you see an attractive woman, demonstrating higher value would mean, well, she's attractive, she's really hot, and I'm just some Joe Schmo normal dude, so why would she ever want to hang out with me? I better try to convince her that I'm attractive. Whenever you have that mentality, you constantly try to sell yourself to these women. And when you constantly try to sell yourself to these women, you come across like a six, like you have supplicative dynamics, as we stated in the last chapter. That is very bad. In fact, it's the lowest form of value, social value at least. So what is demonstrating high value? Let's take it word by word. Demonstrating means showing, which means you don't explain. Only thing that happens during attraction phase with your verbal content is it's just a placeholder. So when you have when you're during the attraction phase, you want to use conversation that's light enough to hold the place of her attention so that you can have an interaction with your body language, so that you can communicate back and forth using your body language. We know subconsciously that we can't trust anyone in the beginning verbally. People have learned how to lie very, very well with their mouths. People have not learned how to lie very well with their bodies. We trust body language a lot more, especially in the beginning, than we trust verbal language. So really what's happening is you want to have conversation that is not content enriched. You want to have a conversation that is strictly playful and which is called banter. You want to have banter-type conversation. This is key and is where most men tend to trip up in an interaction. If you're, you know, since you're reading this book now, I know that you've had a problem in the past, at least, if not now, with demonstrating high value. And a lot of guys end up spending their entire lives stuck on this stage of attraction. And I'm going to tell you how to get over this very simply, and I'm going to tell you how to make sure that you're constantly demonstrating this high value without coming across as needy. So demonstrating is showing, and high value is, let's say, being a 10. But how do you demonstrate that you're a 10 in a situation where you don't know anybody? Ultimately, in the beginning, all that you want to focus on doing is demonstrating that you are not needy. Again, though, this is a really kind of a double-edged sword for a lot of people because a lot of people fall into the mentality of thinking, well, I don't want to be needy, so I need to show no interest. That, again, is polar opposing insecurity compensation. It comes across as you being very insecure. So, so you want to get across through using your body language mostly that you are interested and yet still not needy. A lot of this comes in the form of negative and positive body language. Your body uses a different kind of language than we use verbally, and unfortunately, most people don't know how to speak it, though it's constantly being spoken. Whenever you're in an interaction with a woman, you can't convince her verbally that you're not attracted if you're standing there still and staring at her, especially if you're smiling. Whenever you try to convince a girl that you're not attracted and you're showing signs with your body that you are, then this is called incongruence, and this is a major red flag to women. Anytime your body language and your verbal language aren't saying the same message, you're called incongruent. It's considered incongruence. Incongruence is one of the biggest attraction killers, period. Just one of the biggest attraction killers out there. So what you want to do is you want to demonstrate high value. One of the ways that you do that, though, with your mouth is you use banter. Banter is, like I said, content-free conversation. An example of banter would be anything that you basically say that sort of gets a quick laugh or make people smile. And there are two types of banter. There is verbal banter and there is nonverbal banter. We'll go over nonverbal banter in the body language section, but for now, let's go over verbal banter. Verbal banter, for a lot of guys, is learned subconsciously, for naturals at least, is learned subconsciously. And we learn it from things that we like, from movie quotes to things that your friends say that you kind of take on and start to say yourself, to things that your brother or your siblings, rather, or parents say. Basically, any influence that you get from the people around you or the sort of society that you're exposed to allows you to gain these little quotes of banter. When you bought this book, you were automatically, likely at least, automatically enrolled in a membership program. The membership program is going to have lots and lots of information for you. But when you sign in for the first time, you should see a list of some of the most successful and tested banter lines that have ever been used professionally that I've seen and that I've gathered through years and years of searching, of researching plus inventing my own. But ultimately, you want to create your own banter lines and things that you can say to people that don't really hold much content, but that kind of keep the conversation light and fluffy. Like I said, this can be anywhere from movie quotes to situational, sort of lighthearted comments. Banter, though, is never negative, completely negative. I like to say that you want to have a positive tongue and negative body language. Something negative should never really come out of your mouth, and the reason why is because when you get later on into rapport, if you said a lot of negative things in the beginning, you can begin to build what's called negative rapport with someone, and when you build negative rapport, you can create an enemy, or you can have create a situation where someone constantly dumps their problems on you, and neither of those are good. So experiment, though. If you want to try it out, and talk about it on the forum that you're automatically enrolled in the member site. So after the stage of demonstrating high value, you're going to move on to a stage that most men skip over. Most men have no idea this stage exists, and they screw it up royally almost 100% of the time. The guys who happen to figure this out end up being gods with women. Gods. They become phenomenal with women. The guys who do not know about this end up staying in the same position pretty much for the rest of their lives. And that stage is called qualifying. Qualifying has two meanings. You can qualify yourself to someone, and you can qualify someone to you. Qualifying yourself to someone means you're trying to sell yourself to them. This should never happen to you. You should never be qualifying yourself to someone else. You should never try to verbally sell yourself to someone. The reason why is because it doesn't work. It only works with your body language. Like I said, we don't trust people in the beginning stages, during the stage of attraction. We don't trust enough to listen to what someone has to say verbally. So you want to make sure you qualify yourself using your body language. And that the way you do that is actually during the demonstrating high value stage. But the second way that you qualify or use qualifying is to qualify someone else. And this is how you're going to use qualifying in an interaction with a woman. Qualifying basically solicits the feeling of chase and desire for you out of someone else. So basically, someone will begin to chase you whenever you qualify them. Now, two things are very important here. You want to be able to qualify someone when they haven't qualified themselves to you naturally. So you want to make sure that they are going through the motions of doing that. But you also want to be able to recognize when someone's naturally qualifying themselves to you. A lot of guys that I've seen that had studied under me kind of hit a roadblock when they got to the stage because they weren't recognizing that women were already qualifying themselves to them. They thought that women would never chase them, women were not interested, and that's why they never see the qualification that a woman would bring. So it's just as important to be able to recognize it when it naturally happens as it is to be able to solicit it and make it happen in the first place. You can tell that a woman is naturally qualifying herself to you whenever you just met her in the beginning and she's having a good time and you've gotten past the stage of demonstrating high value. And she usually drops in something like a non sequitur, something that doesn't necessarily make sense per the flow of the conversation. That's one indicator that she's about to start qualifying. The second is that that non sequitur is impressive in some kind of way. You may not be impressed by it, but it's an impressive quality, something that is positive about her that she's saying to you. An example of one would be you're in the middle of a conversation with a girl, being silly and fun like you were bantering in, during the demonstrate high value phase or stage of this interaction. And all of a sudden she drops something like, you know, by the way, you know that I graduated from Princeton. So now all of a sudden, you know, that may not be completely in line with the conversation because it has content and you weren't delivering any content. But basically what the message she's trying to get across from you, the sub-communication behind that message is, I'm intelligent, so don't treat me like I'm stupid. And if you think that I'm intelligent, then I'll feel like you've I've earned your attraction. So women need to feel like they've earned your attraction. They've earned the right to be someone who is attracted, who you are attracted to, rather. If you don't give a woman that ability, that chance to chase you, then she won't be as interested in you. In fact, most women will automatically feel as though you aren't worth the chase in general. So if they don't, you don't allow them to qualify, then they'll feel like, well, you're not worth the chase, and then they won't be attracted to you. So it's vitally important that you understand how to qualify a woman if she isn't already naturally qualifying, but also vitally important that you understand how to recognize a qualification. In a little bit, we'll go into how you can tell if she is qualifying herself to you, how you can tell if you're in this stage, and how you can tell whenever you're ready to get out of it. But for now, what do you do if a woman isn't playing that game? What do you do if she's not automatically selling herself to you after you've demonstrated high value? And there are two likely reasons. One is that you really didn't demonstrate high value, and the other is that she feels afraid to put herself out there. She feels like if she tries to do that, then you might not accept her, and it's too much risk, and she doesn't want to go for it yet. So what you're going to do now is you're going to lead her down the path of qualifying herself using a couple of techniques that I'm going to teach you. The first technique is called the questions qualifier. Questions qualifier is a pretty classic qualifier, a way to qualify someone. And it uses a series of questions, or specifically one question, and the answer to that question that allows them to qualify themselves naturally in a very real environment. An example of that question, and they're pretty much the go-to for people, and you can use any variation of this question you want, if you had to name what your three most positive dominant qualities are, what would you say they are? Now, keep in mind that you're going to be delivering this question right in the beginning of the interaction, something that is happening while you're at the peak of having a very good time. Because attraction ramps up very quickly, but it also dies off very quickly. Because attraction is only just curiosity. It's nothing else. It's not some magical sexual thing, nothing like that. All it is curiosity. Understanding that attraction is curiosity allows you to really put it in perspective, to know what kind of personality you need to have. Women need to be curious about you. They need to want to know more. All you're doing in the beginning is building that curiosity. The women are curious about a lot of very different things compared to what most men are curious about. And because men are so logical, and because we think with our logical brains so much, the logical thing that we would think to do would be to, you know, act like a woman that we're attracted to in order to attract women. Because that would mean that as long as we're acting like them, then we could relate to them. The problem is that women aren't attracted to and aren't curious about the same things in men as we are in women. So you end up coming across as effeminate, which actually kills attraction. So getting back to qualifying, the questions qualifier is very, very powerful. Now, the reason why it works is because what you're doing is whenever you ask the question of tell me what your three most positive dominant qualities are, you'll recognize that people start to give you specific kinds of answers. The more you do this, the more you'll realize that you get kind of the same, you know, 20 to 50 answers over and over again from women. Every once in a while, it'll be something totally outrageous, but usually, you know, somewhere around the same 20 answers that you'll get. And they all live in three different areas. They live in sexual response or sexual implication, intelligent or logical implication, and emotional implication. A sexual might be feisty or, you know, adventurous even. Logical might be intelligent. and emotional might be friendly or truthful or loyal. So these qualities that you get, if you get all three of them, then you have a complete green light with this woman. Moving forward, obviously, you have a green light to move on to the next phase, which is rapport, but that doesn't mean you're done yet. It just means that things are all good at that, up until that moment. Now, if you get any responses that way in a certain area or not, you have different indicators that you are framing her in a certain way. So if you get all sexual response answers, then it's likely that you are framing her in a very sexual state, as in she feels very sexual around you. If you get all emotional, she feels very emotional around you. If you get all logical, she feels very logical around you. If you get emotional and logical but no sexual at all, then you're likely about to fall into the friend zone as you move forward. If you do get emotional and logical and no sexual, like I was saying, you might want to step back in demonstrating high value and do that stage over, or continue to banter a bit more before you qualify for real. Otherwise, you may fall into the friend zone as you move forward. So, So as I was saying, the answers that you give for the questions qualifier are actually catered to the person who's asking. So if I asked you what your three most positive dominant qualities were, you would think, okay, well, what does Joshua think that my dominant qualities would be? And you'd name three qualities you think that I would respect about you. It's no different for women. So whenever you ask this question, women are going to think to themselves in their heads, well, what would make this guy think that I was attractive? What would this guy think is a positive and dominant quality that I have? So as they answer this question, they naturally begin to sell themselves to you. They begin to cater their answer to you specifically. So ultimately, you want to get that response, you want to take it, and you want to accept them for whatever qualities they give you. If you don't accept them for the qualities that they give you, sometimes they will decide they've tried and you just don't like them, and they'll move on, which doesn't help you at all. So make sure that you accept them, even as something as simple as, oh, that's really awesome, is a way of accepting someone. So make sure that happens. Beyond the questions qualifier, and again, also whenever you deliver the questions qualifier, make sure you do it with a playful attitude. Shift gears a little bit. Don't be as playful as you were when you're bantering, as in like having a really good time and being like a little boy. But shift gears a little bit, but still don't get too heavy and too deep. The second and much more advanced version of a qualifying technique is called the self-fulfilling prophecy qualifier. Self-fulfilling prophecy qualifier is a qualifier in which you're going to name off a quality or several qualities that you want her to have, maybe that you have seen some indicator of already, or maybe you haven't seen any indicator of these qualities, and you're going to give her acceptance for that quality without asking her if she actually has it. Now, the way you go about doing this can be very complex, but I'm going to explain it right now in a very simple way to understand, and you'll be able to try this out when you go out. So let's say that you're sitting in a bar full of lots of people, and you finally are kind of alone with someone after they were having a good time with all their friends. She's sitting with you, and you go, I don't know why I get this feeling about you, and maybe it's not true to you, but for some reason I'm just getting this feeling that you're just a completely open person. Like whenever, when I'm hanging out with you, I feel like, I could just try new stuff and it won't be a big deal. You'd be that kind of person too. And that's really comforting to me. I mean, I feel like a lot of people can't do that and they're really afraid of opening up. And so I really appreciate it. And I'm really glad that I get that feeling. And I don't know if you know that you're sending that feeling out or not, but that's what I'm getting. So I appreciate it. So what I did there is basically I took a quality that I wanted her to have. In this case, it was her being open. And I told her that I saw and I had a feeling that she was an open person. Now, she's not going to argue with you having a feeling. If she tries to, then all you have to do is say, well, it's just a feeling that I had. It's not like, may or may not be true. If you might notice that during that statement that I just made, there are a lot of back doors for me. They're called back doors because there are ways for me to get out of that conversation. A lot of them were things like, well, you may think that it's true or you may not, or I don't know why, but I just get this feeling. Phrases like that allow me to have sort of a safeguard against whether or not, in case she completely disagrees with me or doesn't want to qualify herself. So Then I state the quality, being open. And then the important part here is after I state the quality, most men screw this up because they pause and wait for a reaction. Do not pause and wait for a reaction. Just keep talking. And the immediate thing they're going to say after that is why you appreciate it. You know, it makes me, made me feel comfortable is what I said. And I feel like I'm open too. And it's just really cool to hang out with someone like that. So now it separates her from everybody else. So now she feels like she's special and she's earned it. The funny thing is, though, that she actually didn't have that quality, A, or may have not shown me anything that has to do with that quality yet. All that I'm doing is presenting a quality to her, and if she agrees with it, all she has to do is shake her head yes, and she's qualified herself. That's the beauty behind the self-fulfilling prophecy qualifier. Again, it's a little bit more advanced, but still very, very fun and very good. Works extremely well, very, very efficient, and you'll see a lot of success with it. Once you finish qualifying, regardless if you have it naturally or if you have to solicit the qualification and you have to qualify her verbally, then you can move into the stage of rapport. Most guys start in the stage of rapport. The phase of rapport has four stages. It has light rapport, wide rapport, deep rapport, and release. Light rapport is the stage in which you're searching for potential emotional connections. That's it. You haven't found any yet. You're just searching for potentials. This is where most people live in their everyday lives in this kind of conversation. For example, a light rapport conversation that never gets to wide rapport would be, "Hey, how's it going?" "Oh, pretty good. How are you?" "Oh, good. How's work?" "Oh, it's doing okay. How's your family?" "Oh, they're doing pretty well." "Okay, great. I'll talk to you later. Okay, bye." That's a conversation that lives in light rapport. Basically, the point of that conversation is to recognize that someone's there and to show them that you care about them a little bit and that you are willing to give them time out of your day. That does not build rapport. Those conversations do not build rapport. Also, any kind of question that you do ask is a light rapport question, in the beginning especially. A question is asked to someone because we want to gain some information from them or gain knowledge about how we can connect with them. That's what light rapport is. Light rapport is whenever we ask a question for the purpose of, the ultimate purpose of, gaining information that we can build rapport on, build deep rapport on especially. So the point of talking to someone in the first place is to build rapport. The point of communication is to build rapport. Rapport is a direct emotional transfer from one person to another. The point of communication is to transfer emotion. That is the point. Moving on, the second stage in rapport is called wide rapport. Wide rapport is the stage in which you found a potential emotional connection point. Basically, as soon as they answer the question, you found a potential emotional connection point. One way I like to do this is if you ask the question, "What did you do up until you came here today?" So what did you do today and before you came here, no matter where you are? Preferably this is asked a little bit later in the day, but it doesn't really matter. And then they'll start to list off the things that they did. Now everything that they list is going to be a potential deep rapport topic. There are different types of deep rapport topics, but we don't have time to go into that during this book. But it is a very complex process, a very beautiful process. And when you log into the members area, the same members area that you got when you logged into this book, you will see an option to grab that product as well in rapport. If you want to know a little bit more about rapport and go deeper into it, you can grab that product, or you can also look at blog posts or entries that you're going to be getting during the life of your membership. So wide rapport is recognizing that potential emotional connection. Again, you haven't made the emotional connection, you just logged information. You have information in your head about this person. Deep rapport is actually making that connection. When you make the emotional connection, you're going to be vulnerable. At this moment, I don't care who you are vulnerable. And you have to go through this stage if you want to create love. Creating love is about building rapport. A chapter a little bit further along, we'll talk a little bit more about this. But ultimately, that's the third stage of the phase of rapport. The fourth stage is called release. This is where you drop a rapport topic that you already made, the connection that you've already made. You bounce back to either light or wide rapport again, and you repeat the process. Every time you repeat the process, you build a stronger bond. The stronger your bond is, the stronger the love is that you've created. If you ever meet a hot girl and, you know, someone that you really, really like a whole lot, regardless of if she's hot, actually, if it's someone that you like a whole lot, period, and you really want to make sure your relationship means something more, you want to be something more than every other dude she's ever met, make sure you build rapport. Building rapport will keep her from not answering your phone calls, will keep her from moving on to the next guy, will also keep her from cheating. It's the ultimate investment in a relationship. Emotional investment, and you have to make sure you create it. The third phase is called the phase of seduction. There's been lots of talk over the phase of seduction. It's not as magical as a lot of guys think it is. All that seduction is an overload of your emotional brain and a deficit or weakness in your logical brain. Your emotional and your logical brain typically don't work together. They're the two parts of your brain that constantly fight over control of the tools available in your brain. Fight over control of your body even. Whenever your emotional brain's in control, you make emotional decisions, but you can also feel very strong feelings. When your logical brain's in control, you make logical decisions and you have fewer distractions that are involved in emotions. Also, you find it much harder to feel emotional response. So whenever your logical brain is heightened and your emotional brain is dim, which is what happens if you're in any kind of a job situation or logical thought process, you can make decisions based on things that are purely logical and that have very little emotional effect. But if your emotional brain is influenced or strong and your logical brain is weaker in a certain situation, then you can begin to make emotional decisions. All a seduction is when that emotional brain gets spiked and it's high, and then your logical brain gets dimmed or lowered, and there's some kind of sexual attention or sexual attraction added to that formula. So if there's sex plus emotional response, that is seduction. Now, there are a lot of books on theory on how to make this process happen quickly, or even how to make this process happen, period. I think that ultimately, when you get to that point, you'll probably know a lot about it already, and you'll probably understand what to do. But if you want to know more, again, there'll be more information on that in the members area. But you have to watch out, because one thing that's very common is what's called a red zone response. A red zone response is whenever one's logical brain, so in this instance it'll be her logical brain, becomes so weakened and her emotional brain becomes so strengthened that her logical brain flips on what's a natural trigger called the red zone trigger. Your red zone trigger is a trigger in your logical brain that stops you from making purely emotionally based decisions. Women have very strong red zones. Men, most of the time, have even stronger red zones. If it wasn't for the red zone, a lot of women would make very bad decisions and wouldn't be able to filter properly. That's something that has to happen. You don't want to find a way to get around that red zone. You want to find a way to keep that red zone from happening. The more emotional trust you build, i.e. the more rapport you build, the smaller this red zone gets, and the more emotional state she'll allow to take over. As she trusts you more, she'll begin to feel like she can trust you with her emotions more. If that's the case, then you won't have very much red zone response, and that trigger won't pop up. But if you don't build rapport, and you try to skip that stage, you will get very strong resistance from her. Most likely, at least. And the final phase of the map of interaction is called relationship balance. Relationship balance is the idea that we constantly balance for pretty much the rest of our lives four major components of a relationship that sort of intertwine with each other. Those four different components are power or leadership, compliance, value, and neediness. Power is leadership within the relationship. So if you're the one making most of the leadership decisions or making choices based on whatever it is that you decide is best for the relationship, then you're the one who has most of the power. Compliance is where your priorities are. Do you place their priorities above yours or your priorities above theirs? Value is your worth or how much people need you outside of the relationship. And then outside of the relationship, not within the relationship. Neediness is your investment in the relationship. How much you're invested into the person that you're dating. The important thing to know about these four different parts of your relationship that you're going to have to balance is that compliance is usually an indicator that there's a change in power. And neediness is usually an indicator that there's a change in value. So, for example, if you get a promotion at work, you may find that your value's gone up outside the relationship. But then you may find that her neediness either increases or decreases all of a sudden out of nowhere. It seems to be out of nowhere. But it's actually a response to your value going up. If your value goes down, it may happen again. If you have or make a lot of leadership decisions, if you do something right sometimes, as in make a good decision for the couple, sometimes you may see compliance increase or decrease. She may start to do more things for you. She may start to do fewer things for you. Ultimately, it doesn't really matter where your power, compliance, value, and neediness lays on the scale. In reference to her value, power, compliance, and neediness, ultimately all that really matters is that you both are aware of each other's place on this scale constantly. So this is where communication actually comes in. Communication in a relationship is the presentation of your level of power, your level of compliance, your level of value outside the relationship, and your level of neediness within the relationship. Anytime you have a problem, if you don't know that these four areas are the areas that you're balancing, then you may begin to address it in a way that does not actually solve the problem, and you may end up ruining your relationships, even very good relationships. So that completes the map of interaction. But let's go on a little bit more into how to use the map of interaction. I know before I said that you want to use it kind of like a regular map. I mean, use it right now. You studied it. You already know. You can look at it and see, okay, well, this is what I need to do. I need to go from this stage to this stage. But at the same time, you don't want to be thinking about that constantly while you're out. The ultimate goal that you want to get to is to be able to do what's called, quote-unquote, see the matrix. Seeing the matrix is being able to see what stage you're in while you're in that stage. You're also able to see what stage you were just in, plus you'll know how to continue to the stage further. So that sparks a very important question, and that is, what do you think is the most important stage? A lot of people think that attraction is very important because people think that that's, you know, what sparks their interaction. Rapport is very important as well. It's what stage builds all the love. Seduction can be argued as being very important as well because it's what creates the passion. And relationship balance allows it to have longevity. But the most important stage is the stage that you're in. Regardless of what stage is next or what stage was before, whatever stage you're in is the most important stage because everything can be won or lost during that stage. So it's important that you recognize what stage you're in. If you don't know what stage you're in, then you won't know how to get to the next one. If you don't know how to get to the next one, you won't know how to escalate the conversation, escalate the interaction. But once you do learn how to do that, nothing will be lucky anymore. You will not be getting lucky, quote unquote. Everything will be by your design, and you will have complete control over your interactions. This is how you use the map of interaction to control your interactions. But another question that I commonly get is, how do you know how to act in each of these stages? I mean, how do you know, if I don't want to think about, you know, in such a logical way and get up in my head and constantly be thinking about what I should or shouldn't be doing, how do I know how to act? Well, the way to easily know how to act in this in the map of interaction is to take each stage as a different type of your personality. During the stage of attraction, which is your default stage, the stage you should kind of always be in unless you're in a business situation or something else calls for you to be a different way, your natural default should be that you have the mindset of a boy. You want to have fun. You're there to be playful. And you're not serious. And you're not really necessarily aggressive or anything like that. You can be if you want to, but you're an aggressive boy in that manner. And during the stage of rapport, you want to be a friend and nothing else. A friend, and strictly a friend, because during that stage, you're building the emotional comfort and emotional attraction that is necessary to continue even a long-term relationship. And so it has to be something that is real and very permanent and perfect for them. During the stage of seduction, you are a man. You are no longer a little boy. You shed all your boy-like playfulness, and you have a new kind of sense of sexual playfulness. So it's important that you keep that in mind and you play those different roles. You know, you become those different parts of your personality in those different stages. You can't be a man during attraction. You can't be a man during rapport. You can't be a friend during seduction. You know, and you can't be a little boy during rapport as well. It's just, you can't switch these around. When you start to switch them around, the big problem is you create incongruence between what you're doing and how you're acting and what you're saying. So make sure you keep that in mind. So let's go through, what are some signals that you can recognize so that you can be certain you're in some certain stage? Well, I'm going to go through the entire map again with you this time, and now I'm going to give you a signal for each stage to let you know how to tell if you're in that stage or if you're moving forward, if you kind of backtracked or what. So let's start with attraction. The first stage in attraction is introduction, as I said before. You should always assume that everyone already has an idea about who you are in their heads. You should always assume that you've already introduced yourself, quote-unquote. You've already become a blip on the radar to everyone. So you want to make sure that you're always acting in that dominant, attractive kind of way, just naturally to people. Even if you're talking to a bunch of guys, it doesn't really matter, because if people are looking at you, that's the instance in which they create the attraction that allows you to push forward through this interaction map. How do you know if you're demonstrating high value? Well, if she's given you positive body language, as in if she faces you with her body, especially with her feet and knees and her shoulders, if she's re-engaging the conversation when it starts to die out a little bit, if you happen to have a conversation start to die, if she's touching you back constantly, and if she's smiling at you constantly, a group of these are indicators of whether or not you're actually demonstrating high value at the moment and you're doing it properly. If you don't see these things, it just means that you're probably not doing it properly, or you may have some exception to the rule with talking to the girl you're talking to. But again, it's a red flag if she's an exception, because everything does make sense. So there's no like, well, she was just different. There's a reason why she's different as well. So you got to keep that in mind and keep looking. Again, these are just indicators that she's attracted, and attraction is just curiosity. So just because she's doing this season doesn't mean she's going to be sleeping with you or interested in you beyond attraction. You can still screw this up in any given moment, which is why it's important to know the map of interaction. When you're qualifying, she's going to be trying to impress you, and most likely this is going to be verbally. You can recognize that if she, like I said before, if you see a non sequitur, that is some kind of a positive component to it, something that she thinks will impress you in some kind of a way. Usually this is verbal, and usually it's pretty easy to spot once you actually start looking for it. In rapport, you'll know if you're in light rapport, which is the first stage of the phase of rapport, if you have inquisitive content in your conversation. So you have inquisitive content-laden conversation, which means that a lot of the conversations turn into questions about each other. You're basically asking each other to open up at this point. It's your job to open up first, so you're going to have to recognize you're in this stage, if not lead to this stage in the first place, and make sure that that you get there. Wide rapport, you'll know that you're in wide rapport because there are several topics that are being discussed. She's maybe naming off a list of things, or you've gone over a few different topics without making the deep rapport connection yet. Also, as soon as you recognize that you have a point that you think you can go into deep rapport on, that means that you are in that moment in wide rapport. Deep rapport, you'll know because you'll see physical responses to deep rapport. She'll be leaning in. She'll have solid eye contact. You'll kind of notice that her background, and probably for her, your background, kind of breaks away. You create what's called an us or we bubble. Usually it's called an us bubble. And during the stage of deep rapport, you're also going to see a certain eye accessing cue, a certain direction that she's going to be looking. She'll constantly look down at the ground or down at an angle, and her eye contact will constantly go below. So she'll look at you in the beginning, and then she'll switch over to having a lot of downward pointing eye contact. So the way you can tell that you're in the stage of seduction usually is she will have more excessive looking down. So before, during the stage of rapport, this kind of leads into allowing her to have her emotional state heightened. But when you're in the stage, actually whenever you're in the stage of release first, whenever you're in the stage of release, which is the final stage of rapport, you're going to have a snap out of it kind of mentality where you feel like all of a sudden you snap back to being kind of out of that emotional state. And another indicator that you're in the release phase is whenever she or you begin to lean back in the middle of the connection, lean back in your seat and kind of sit back a little more and kind of reset. Everything gets reset. So in the phase of seduction, you'll see excessive looking down. You'll also see dilated pupils, heavy breathing. You'll probably notice that she may take frequent trips to the bathroom, usually not to go to the bathroom, but usually to kind of wake yourself up, especially if you haven't built enough rapport. She'll definitely try to snap herself out of the seductive state because she's not sure if she can trust you yet. She'll also be very responsive to sensual conversation. So anything that has to do with feeling something physically, so whether it's like touch, seeing something, smelling something, hearing something, anything that involves her senses tasting something, will be she'll be very responsive to those kinds of conversations. The way you know that you're in relationship balance phase is that you'll notice that the congruence tests, tests in which women give you to see if you are congruent, if you're not faking your confidence, those begin to lessen quite a bit. You also have a substantial deep rapport has been built, so tons of deep rapport has been built. Negative and positive body language has less communication significance as well. So because acceptance has been completely solidified, so both of you have accepted each other, and so you don't really care as much about negative and positive body language anymore, which is very, very important as you go through the first three phases of the map of interaction. So there you have it. That is the system behind it. But now the rest of this book is going to be helping you use this system to really understand and control your attraction, rapport, seduction, and relationship balance that you have with the women in your life. Continue on to the next chapter, and we'll keep going.